Thank you, friends. It's a real good privilege for me to come and talk to you about the wonderful grace of God which has made it possible for sinners to be transformed into saints. A message that brings people who are children of wrath and transforms them into the children of God. To take those who are under bondage and make them alive and free and wonderful in the Savior. To bring us into a relationship with God Himself. We have been seeing in this third and fourth chapter the sufficiency of Christ, of all that He means to us. And that the law couldn't do a thing to help us, to save us. It only made us servants. Now under the grace of God, we have been justified. We have received a new life. We have become the children of God. We've been united to the Savior in an indissoluble, wonderful, eternal union. And now we are the sons of God by adoption. This is a position before God. We can even cry, Abba, Father, because He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. One is reminded of Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, where Paul says, As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And here he says, Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's the wonderful thing. Now in verses 8 to 20, as we follow along in this study, Paul makes a great appeal to these Christians of Galatia. If they have changed, he has not. Remember that. Having come into this new relationship and being freed from the bondage that they were in, and having found Christ sufficient for every need, why do they want to go back to the weak and beggarly elements which are helpless to justify, which are helpless to fit you for the presence of God? Allow me to read from verse 8 of Galatians chapter 4. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, that is, when they were Gentiles, they were pagans, they were idolaters, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, having turned to God from your idols, and now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, why do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as you are, you have not injured me at all. And you know how through the infirmity of your flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And so on. Let me just stop here for a moment. What he's appealing for is this. Having come to Christ out of their idolatry and sin, and been brought into a new relationship with the Savior, and were freed from the bondage of their paganism, they found Christ sufficient for every need. Now along came these Judaizers from Jerusalem and said, Listen, you Christian Gentiles, if you want to have real life and to keep saved, you've got to add to what Christ has done. You've got to keep the law of Moses as a rule of life. Now Paul here is saying, Why do you want to go back to the weak and beggarly elements? Whether it's in Judaism or whether it's in paganism. For you remember the Apostle Paul said in the first chapter that when he accepted Christ, the Lord not only delivered him from his sin and from this present evil world, but God also delivered him from his religion, which was made up, of course, of observances and doing things and keeping days and months and what have you, just like the pagans did. The pagans had their days, feast days and fast days, and they had all their ceremonies with their gods. Now, having come to Christ, why go back either to Judaism or go back to paganism? You're going back to the beggarly elements. These are the evidences of bondage.
You keep, what does he say? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I've preached unto you in vain. May I read you a verse from Colossians chapter 2, where we have the same thought brought before us when Paul is warning the Colossians about this very thing when he said in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or the Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And you know, it's an amazing thing. The evidence of the bond, you're just keeping days. Having experienced the sufficiency of Christ, why do you want to go back to bondage? Why do you want to go back to the shadows? When did you have your joy? When you believed in the sufficiency of Christ. When did you have peace of heart? When you believed in the sufficiency of the work of Christ. When your heart was wrapped up with the Savior. He finished the job, did a perfect work. He gave you salvation that was complete. Why go back to the beggarly elements? Why go back to shadows when you can be occupied with the reality? Well, someone's going to say, do you mean to tell me that if I go back to keeping the Sabbath day, I'm going back to shadows and unreality? That's correct. Remember, the Sabbath day was the remembrance of a finished creation. The Lord's day is the remembrance of a finished redemption. The Sabbath day was a sign of a covenant between the people of Israel and God. You find this in Exodus chapter 31 at the end of the chapter. This was a covenant between God and the people of Israel. And the Sabbath day was the remembrance of that. Now remember, when you come to the Gospels, especially the Gospel through John, our Savior performed miracles on the Sabbath day because he wanted them to see, having spurned the God of the covenant, why keep up the sign of the covenant? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a sign, a remembrance of a finished creation. And we are joined to the risen Savior, one who died for us, who liberated us from the law, and made it possible for us to live unto God. And when did they have the blessing? When they followed Christ. In verses 13 to 15. You know how through the infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected. You received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And he goes on to speak of this. When did they have the blessing? When did they have joy? When did they have liberty and freedom? Why, when they were in Christ, when they were enjoying the sufficiency of Christ, when they accepted the grace of God, when they took Paul as a messenger from God. They received him as an angel from heaven. They were so blessed by the grace of God, they would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to Paul, which was a wonderful evidence of the grace of God. When did they lose their blessing? When they put themselves back under the law. When Paul came the first time, they were blessed of God. They were rejoicing in the Savior. When Paul went back the second time, they were cold, they were indifferent, they were treating him as an enemy. Legalism had robbed them of the blessing, joy, and fellowship of Christ. These Judaizers wanted these Christians to be exclusive of Paul and of grace. And Paul now asks the question, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I haven't changed. I'm still preaching the gospel of the grace of God. I'm still declaring that message which set you free, which brought you great blessing. My, and you've turned from me, you've turned from Christ, you've turned from the truth of the grace of God, and you've gone back into bondage, and you've lost your joy, and you've lost your blessing, and you've lost your usefulness. That's kind of strong language, isn't it? But my friend, that's exactly what the Lord does when a Christian puts themselves under the law of God, even as a rule of life. Do you know what happens? They lose their joy. They lose their sense of peace. They become critical of other believers. Just like with Paul, they even turned round and criticized Paul and called him their enemy. This same group that would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to Paul when he led them to Christ from their paganism, out of bondage into Christ. And because he told the truth and stood by the word of God, they call him an enemy. It is quite true today, quite true today. In fact, in verse 17, he said, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. It's a good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, not only when I am present with you. My little children, oh, the burden of this man's heart, listen to it. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. I'm willing to go into travail again, that Christ might be built up in you. You've turned yourself away from the Lord of glory, the sufficient Savior, and you've turned your back on him and turned yourself to the law, the keeping of good new days, holy days, Sabbath days, ceremonies, all these things that pertain to the old. And you've left Christ and thus have lost your joy and peace. May I say there are a great many people today just like that. And they're honest people. They love the Lord. They want to go on with God, but they've been sidetracked by false teachers who would lead them into a place of bondage and legalism. And thus they deny by their very actions the sufficiency of the work of Christ. Oh, God forbid that any one of us should leave the sufficiency of the work of Christ and trust the arm of the flesh. My friend, the place of joy, the place of peace, the place of blessing, the place of usefulness is in Christ himself. Now, why don't you spend today, whatever your job may be, while you're working or whatever you're doing, driving, whatever it is, be occupied with the sufficiency of Christ. Remember, he's a sufficient Savior. He did a perfect work for you. And he emancipated you not only from sin and from the bondage of death and hell, but from the law and its curse. And may you have a wonderful day in the presence of Christ today for his name's sake.